Welcome back, everybody, to Westworld Rants, a fan podcast devoted to HBO's amazing new science fiction slash Western show, Westworld.
Oh,
I'm Justin.
Hey, Justin, I'm Kelly. I happen to be your mom. Normally, Hank is with us, but I think he's in the middle of a hurricane. So
he is indeed during the middle of a hurricane right now.
Yeah, we're like, okay, dude, it's fine. You know, this will be your one and only time that we'll give you a mulligan.
Yeah, this is all you get, Hank. If you're not here again, we come after you.
Yeah, and it's tough for us because he is our calming influence. We have a tendency to get super hyped up and hyperactive, and we need him, so we're going to do our best to try to stay calm.
Well, I think my calming influence right now is the fact that I still feel like poop. I spent the entire weekend. It was a long, long weekend for me. It was Thursday through Monday morning. I spent this at Austin City Limits in Austin, and I partied hard. I ate really badly, and now I feel really crappy.
Oh.
So I think that'll bring me down. So that way, in a sense, since I won't be so pepped up, which I really am, because this is something that we've been looking forward to for quite some time for the actual episode to air. I've already seen like at least 15 other Westworld podcasts out there that have already put their episode one recap for the pilot, which is entitled The Original or just Original.
Yeah, thanks, Justin.
If you're listening to
us. Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I held us back this week of getting it out a little bit earlier. And then, of course, yeah, Hank has the hurricane that's coming through Florida. And so he's off boarding up windows and stuff. So he wasn't able to join us. But we're hoping to get his favorite moment, because that's what we're going to do, is give you our top moments from this episode. And then I've got 4 to 5 questions.
I love when you say.
Slash probably 15
yeah,
million.
Yeah, 4 to 5 and add 2.
Yeah, exactly. 4 to 5 slash 11 to 12, 13, a baker's dozen. That's how many I have. I've got a lot of questions after this pilot. But yes, as I said before, we've been waiting for this for quite some time. If you're listening to us right now, we really appreciate it. We would love to hear your feedback, your comments. You can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. If you happen to like our conversations, our discussions, our chit-chats as we ramble on about Westworld, we would love for you to leave us a review on iTunes, on Stitcher, Google Play, whatever podcast listening device you're listening to us on. We would love to get your thoughts and reviews on our podcast. That would be great. As we said, there are about 15 million of us already for Westworld, but that's all right, because I mean, I already knew that was going to happen. I knew that there was going to be a lot, because the show is just, there's been so much excitement leading up to this premiere. I knew that there was going to be a lot of us podcasters that are like, we got to get on this. This is going to be the show. This is going to be so much fun to talk about. So now I'm ready to talk about it. So let's talk about Westworld,
okay.
The pilot.
Let me just say this. Do you want to get the synopsis before I say what I'm going to say?
The synopsis of this episode is literally that we're just in, you know, we're introduced to the world of Westworld. If you want me to actually read what the intro nets have, this is what it says. At a remote park, guests pay to share Wild West adventures with android hosts. A programmer warns the park founder about the behavior of some recently recoded hosts. In the Westworld town of Sweetwater, a rancher's daughter encounters a gunslinger. Very vague.
Yes.
If you read that prior to seeing the episode, and really, really taking a deep dive into which actors are playing which character and which character does what, then you would have been like, that doesn't tell me anything. I had done a lot of trailer watching and reading lots of stuff prior to the Westworld premiere, and also we watched the movie, prior, the 1973 movie. So a lot of the stuff that you saw in the movie, you can relate it to what's happening in the show thus far as small things, obviously, like the town of Westworld and everything, and the fact that this is a theme park that was created by, in this version of it, the character played by Anthony Hopkins, his name is Ford, and this was his whole vision and everything. he wanted. I don't know exactly what he wanted out of this, because that's something we didn't get in this episode.
Mm-hmm. I think he wanted somebody to talk to.
His vision.
I
think so as well.
Yeah, just somebody to keep him company. I do like too that in this episode we find out that this is not a park that has just opened. It's not a brand new theme park. It has been open for 30 years. So basically, it is a continuation of the park that was open. That's
thinking. I mean, it's been more than 30 years. They said it's been 30 years since an incident occurred. And we don't know exactly what time period we're in right now in the world of Westworld. Right. So that it could be 2003. It could be 2033 for all we know. But I did like that. And I was wondering if you caught that as well, the fact that they were like, it's been 30 years since we've had an incident. And it was kind of nice because, I mean, the movie's older than 30 years. What is it?
It's 40 years.
40-something years.
43 or 44, so it has been a while. Okay, so let me just ask you this. If you didn't know which network this came from, could you answer the question without being told?
Most certainly.
And why is that?
It's not TV.
And
it's HBO.
And why is that?
Lots of boobies.
We open.
And lots of... Dongers.
Well, we barely got any peen. I mean, we did. We did.
Barely? Okay. There was lots of peen in that room.
All right. In that one room, there was some vague shadow of peen. But we start.
Quit judging those guys.
I'm sorry.
There was lots of peen.
Okay. Yes. It, you guys were great. You were awesome. Yeah. So I'm sorry.
You better take that back.
I take that back. I just.
Giving these hosts a complex.
How would you have felt? As an actress, as an actor, to start off this show that is so highly anticipated with your body naked.
I mean, a lot of these people had really great bodies. Like, really
great.
Well,
I just mean...
Even in that room where there was just thousands and thousands of hosts all there. I mean, of course, like, some of those people were probably actual real extras, and then the rest were... They always do the CGI afterwards to like duplicate other people. Once you know, sometimes, especially on The Walking Dead, you can start to see some of the doubles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a pattern of the people and everything. How would I feel? Fucking great.
Really? I mean, because, if you were
if
you were Evan Rachel Woods and you're sitting there, and we open basically on your nipples, panning back. I mean, it's like, okay, all right. I'm glad, you know, you'd feel good about it.
I was like sold on Westworld immediately. You know, hey, sometimes I'm superficial and sometimes that's all it takes to sell me. The moment that one host was on the show.
God.
Man, she was absolutely stunningly gorgeous. And it wasn't just because she was naked. I mean, obviously... not only the men, but the women as well are like, hell yes, because Shannon Woodward's character was all about it.
The one you're talking about is the one that plays the prostitute with the really large eyes and the perfect breasts.
Yes, her name on the show is Clementine. Clementine Pennyfeather.
Yes, Pennyfeather.
What a fantastic name. Her real name is Angela Serafin. That's how I'm gonna attempt to pronounce it. But I mean, we all knew that this was going to push boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's HBO. This is HBO's MO. The fact that you know sex, rapey scenes.
Right.
That kind
yeah, they're
of stuff.
Like, you know what, Game of Thrones, screw you. Look at our boobs and look at our rape. You know,
that's true. That is very true. So did it offend you? I know we haven't got into whether or not we liked the pilot yet, but as a woman, did that stuff offend you?
A little bit. I mean, I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, "Oh my God, I am so offended. I'm never going to watch this show." I thought they just kept coming back to it and coming back to it. Why did the host, when they were in for correcting their program or, you know, fixing, why did they have to sit there naked in those chairs?
I think honestly, I can't give you an answer that is objectively right, because that is something, that's a technique that a lot of movies use, that they utilize, and in books as well. It's just obviously we're not seeing the visual, we're creating the visual in our head, but they illustrate the visual of these bodies are, you know, laying out naked and stuff like that, because for some reason we're obsessed with it, that futuristic stuff is always sexualized and naked, right?
Which, I mean, that's the whole purpose of what they're trying to create, I think, for us in Westworld, is for us to sexualize it a lot just for their story. It needs to be able to have us there so they can take us where they need to take us.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean,
agree, because I'm right.
Yeah, well, if we're already, you know, if we're sexualizing it, it's the same thing that the guests are doing. You know, in our subconscious, we're falling right in line with the guests of Westworld. So, I mean, hopefully we wouldn't do some of the terrible things, and that's something that I want to get into.
I want to talk about that.
It was quite a bit, and I could see that it could turn off some initial viewers. I mean, I know that, not to name any names, but there's certain websites out there that are very obsessed, I would say, with that kind of stuff, and they've denounced watching Game of Thrones previously as well. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's just like it's a lot of BS to me, you know, a lot of hyperbole, if you will. Whenever they're just like, oh my God, I am so offended right now. You know, that's the offended culture to me. That's somewhat obnoxious sometimes, mm-hmm. because even the rape scene to me, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, because I knew that this was coming in this episode. That was already a controversy that was out there prior to the premiere. This was something that was brought up at like some of the Television Critics Association stuff, and this was something that was discussed. I don't know if they scaled it back. I mean, it was still a very vicious and violent scene.
But we don't know for sure that she was raped. We assume that she was raped.
Yeah, we are led to assume that happened. And we've seen in Game of Thrones where it's like, there's no assuming that's what happened. And sometimes it would get a little bit old. Like you feel like they were going back to the well again. You're like, oh, it's time. It's time for a rape scene. We gotta stir up some controversy. When to me, the most controversial scene to me in Game of Thrones, I mean, not the most, but like whenever Cersei is led through all of, I'm blanking out right now. I'm blanking on King's Landing,
yes.
which is very sad. Just completely naked and being shamed by everybody. Dudes like grabbing their
wieners,
their dicks, like while they're,
and
yes,
shaking
wieners,
their weenies at her.
Yeah, I thought that was, you know, quite, that was pretty intense right there. So, but I wasn't sure how you felt about it. So not completely turned off, but it was just a little bit much for you. I'm probably going to say it's going to happen a lot more in the show going forward.
Well, I think I kind of know HBO's MO, as you said. They will do it in this first season. They're going to do it a lot. And then they'll worry more about the story in the second season and the third season. They want to capture all those pervs that they can in the beginning. They want to shock as many people, have as many people pissed off and talking about it as possible, as long as they're talking.
Yeah. There was about 3 million of us.
Yeah. Oh,
for the
premiere. It was the highest rated HBO premiere in 3 years.
Yes. So, which in 3 years, I can't think of what has came out in 3 years that is that big. Vinyl was HBO's big thing that they spent a lot of money behind, but that was never to me something that was going to garner millions and millions of people watching it. That's why I never understood why they spent that much money. To me, that was a show that it's like, hey, we got this show. It's going to be great. It's going to have a great cast. It's going to have a great story. You know, we're going to be pumped if we get a million people watching every Sunday night. But, you know, something like Westworld, I honestly expected there to be more, more than what it got.
I really did too, and I'm kind of surprised that Game of Thrones hasn't got larger numbers than that for the premiere episode in the, you know, at the beginning of each season.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is it that Game of Thrones hasn't beat True Detective? How is that possible?
No, that's new shows. That's only new shows. Okay. That's not the game. Okay. That's not okay. Including, so yeah, that's not okay. Including Game
I was
of
just,
Thrones.
Now yeah. That's what I was going to get butthurt about.
yeah, exactly. You're like, my Game of Thrones better be winning that right. battle. No. Game of Thrones definitely has beat the 3-point-something million that...
That was kind of stupid because, I mean, it is the most awarded show of scripted television of all time, so...
Yeah. But again, I did think it was going to get more. I don't know, and I saw, like, a few reviews saying that, you know, the show is good, you know, it was good and everything, but the fact that at the heart of the show, it's a Western, and can a Western still garner that audience like a Walking Dead or a Game of Thrones can? To me, it can easily because I happen to love Westerns. I love really good Westerns. I love what comes along with Westerns, which is usually a very nice slow burn storyline, fantastic visuals.
Yeah, the scenery was so incredible.
Exactly. You know, you're stuck in the Wild West and it's like all rules are thrown out the window. Mm-hmm. And there's just something... you know, that especially we as Americans, we romanticize the Wild West so much, even though it was probably a terrible ass time to live. We all think of like...
I mean, it would be horrible. Yeah, please. It's a super awesome thing. Take you know, half a year to get a couple of states over, you know, and you're starving to death and people are getting bit by snakes and, you know, spiders and all of that crap and killed by whomever just happens to come down the trail. It would have been horrible. Yeah, we romanticize it a lot, like you said, but calling this just a Western is like calling The Walking Dead a zombie show.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, I completely agree. There's so much more to it. Everything, all the questions that the show begs us to ask is to me the most exciting prospect of the show. So let's get into actually talking about some things that we liked and just also get it out there up front. We'll give our review score out of Bacon's because that's what we like to use because Bacon's the greatest thing on earth. And we score all of our TV shows out of 5 Bacon's. But just a quick, did you love Westworld? Did you like it? Was it okay? Did it not meet your expectations? What did you think?
It more than met my expectations. I loved it. I thought it was great. What a great pilot episode. So, I mean, I literally loved it.
Okay. I'm with you as well. It was so tough being at Austin City Limits Sunday night, and it's like, woe is me. I was at a amazing music festival. Mumford and Sons was
good
playing.
God,
that night.
How much can you bitch about it?
Yeah. I bitched about it because all I really wanted to do was be in front of my TV watching Westworld Sunday night. And that's when you know a show has really captured your attention if you would rather be there than at this like awesome music festival.
Old.
So you're old. Or you're old. That's very true. I felt all this crap. I'm like, oh my God, my back, my legs, my body is just in pain. I absolutely loved the premiere. I thought it was a fantastic pilot for sure. It checked all the boxes to me of what a pilot should do in a very, very nice way. I mean, we loved the environments, the visuals, the sets, the scenery, everything, the characters that drew you in, the storyline. It was great. Like I was so excited. I've watched the freaking pilot 4 times now.
Really?
I've watched it 4 times. I could watch it again right now. Like, there's just something about it. I honestly really like the visuals the most. Mm-hmm. Like and the characters, I guess. The characters would be a close second.
Oh, and the story.
Story and the beginning, the end, the middle. No, it's just something about that world that they've created. It's just glorious. I guess they film in Utah and I was talking about moving to Utah with my girlfriend and
wait a minute.
Might be sold.
Let me just say Utah is the prettiest state out of the entire United States, in my opinion. I mean, I love Utah. It's just gorgeous. It's, you know, the the rocks and desert, and I mean, I love it, the blue sky, but it's too freaking far away, so no.
Yeah, but it was really, it's so gorgeous, and man, yeah, it was very, very, very beautiful. I just wanted to go spend, I can't afford a day there, that's for damn sure. I took the Westworld assessment, uh-huh. and it gives you, like, you can stay for a weekend. I think my stay was like millions of dollars or something to stay in Westworld. So yeah, I certainly cannot afford it. I'd have to be like that fake host, mm-hmm. that, you know, acts like a host, but then the second he gets in a gunfight, that's it. That's the end of my Westworld trip. Hopefully I lasted longer than a day.
What's
in Westworld
really interesting about you saying all that to me is, you know, your entire life I've had horses, and mm-hmm. I've attempted to get you involved and wanted you to ride, and instead you would ride your bicycle alongside me while I rode my horse. So I think that's funny that
I don't know, it's not the horses that
well, that is how you get around there, you know.
I well, that's true, but I could have a buggy as well. I could have a horse and, you know, and carriage. Mm-hmm. It would still be a horse.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't lame. Know. I love the horses. That is lame. It is very lame. Unless I like the town part
okay.
of it. See, I wouldn't have done well had I been. Imagine Peter Abernathy's farm.
Yeah.
But like another 100 miles out of Sweetwater. Because Sweetwater is, you know, that's the
right.
town that we're
right.
in Westworld. So say if I was like 100 to 150 miles outside of Sweetwater, that's where the Abernathy farm was, I'd be done. It would be the worst ever.
Oh.
Because I want to live in the towns of the Wild mm-hmm. Wild West. I want to live in the dead woods of the Wild West. I don't need to have to ride around
okay.
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to live in the town. They got the saloons, they got, you know, the shootings, and yeah, it would be great.
And the hookers, you know, all
and
that,
the hookers.
All of that.
I mean, and especially the hookers of
yeah.
Westworld. I
yeah,
mean,
they did make them kind
we
of,
all know that that's not real
no,
life.
Oh my gosh, that is what is so hilarious. I would love to see some, you know, side by side comparison of, you know, the hookers of the Old West compared to Westworld, because, you know, they were dirty and toothless and
yeah,
you know, it was not, they were not pretty, I'm sure. So it was a hard life.
Maybe,
it was a terrible,
it was.
Hard life. And, you know, they probably,
was.
What, 30 years old? And
that was
yeah.
dead.
Yeah. So, all right. So
no, I agree.
I'm going to give my number one moment. So I guess it kind of makes mm-hmm. our number three moment. I loved when Teddy comes to town, James Marsden. I mean, of course, I'm going to love him anyway, because he's purdy. But when he comes to town on the train with all the newcomers, you know, we get that feeling that he is also a newcomer. And they lead us down that mm-hmm. path. Throughout the conversations, he's in the saloon and he sees Dolores across the way, and, you know, his eyes light up and he makes his way over to her, and you get this feeling that it's a human host relationship, that they are in love with each other. And
yeah.
then the big reveal when they are at her house and he's trying to protect her from the man in black, and he's shooting at him, and nothing happens. And you're like, what the crap? And then it finally dawned on
me.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Yeah, so that big reveal to find out that he was, in fact, a robot.
Yes,
yeah.
He is an android,
mm-hmm.
just like Dolores. No, that was crazy. Took me by complete surprise. You know, with everything that the trailers were building us up to, it certainly looked like there was this relationship between James Marsden's character and Evan Rachel Wood's character, that it was a human host relationship. Like, that's what was going down. And it was crazy. Like, just to see that happen, because then, you have that awesome moment, which, of course, you know, if you recognize the guy, you're going to know that I automatically loved it. But prior to the Man in Black coming to Dolores' farm, Peter Abernathy's farm and everything, we see Stephen Ogg's character. And like,
I saw him on IMDb, and I was like, oh, Justin's crapping his pants.
I loved it so much. It was like the best Got Milk commercial of all time. I mean, it was so freaking good. And he's got like those chops like into like the little handlebars, mm-hmm. mustache. Oh, it was fabulous. He was so good in that role. He plays the perfect, like the best asshole mm-hmm. of all time. He's so ruthless. Trevor in Grand Theft Auto is like one of my all-time favorite gaming characters. Of course, I'm not the only one. It's a lot of people's all-time favorite gaming characters. And it's funny too, because when you think about Grand Theft Auto, especially that game, compared to the world of Westworld, the two are so similar.
Very, very similar. And that's, okay, before we move on, I just have to ask you. So, and we have done this, I have sat around and laughed my butt off so hard until I nearly peed my pants. And the only time I've really ever even played Grand Theft Auto is when you've like walked out of the room and I've sat there and ran people over. So yes. I'm running over these people and they're pixels. I try to pretend like I would go to Westworld and I would be a good person, but I didn't think anything of that or having you come and hit hookers in the back of the head constantly. I mean, am I a terrible person?
I'm pretty sure we went to the strip club. We got our lap dances.
Oh, my God, we so did.
We beat them over the head to get our money back.
We did. We did that. And I'm your mother.
Yes. Yeah, and you're my mom, and you allowed me to do it, and you
laughed
the whole while
time.
I did it.
Yeah, I never, not one time did I say, now, Justin, that is not a very nice thing. I'm like, nope, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah, there's another one. She got away. Yeah, or like, you know, if it's, this wasn't just for women, people. Like, don't think that we just did this for women. We did this for the men as well. Whenever they would bump into us, they'd get a beat down also.
No, everybody did.
Yeah. Yeah, you were really bad about just right into the crowds of people, just running them over. So yeah, you're totally right. I mean, we all like to think that we say that though, and we play the Walking Dead games completely different. The Telltale games, we play them, always our initial playthroughs are like super nice. We're helpful to everybody. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure everybody lives. I don't know what it is about certain games where we don't have that emotional connection to these characters. I don't know if because, you know, they're NPCs and they're like the lowest of the lowest form of NPC in the sense that they don't have a personality really. They just shout out random lines in the Grand Theft Auto mm-hmm. games. But you know, in the Telltale games, each single character that we interact with has a story and you know, they feel like an actual person that you would want to have in your group most of the time. Some of them are just complete assholes.
Well, and most video games they don't let you go up and just randomly kill people.
That's very true. But Grand Theft Auto certainly does.
And
but
they encourage it.
They do encourage it. But yeah, you're right. As far as that whole thing with the Man in Black and Teddy's character, whenever he shot that guy, Arnold, I think was the other bandit. And, you know, he blew him away. And then I believe, he blows Stephen Ogg's character away, which I think his name was like Ruben or something. What was his? He had a weird name, and I was like, oh, I love that name. I don't know. I can't find him right now on IMDb. But I thought he was, at that point, I still thought he was a human. I'm just like, oh, okay, he's the hero. He's the hero of the story. And then that line, holy shit, that line that Ed Harris's character delivered to him about I always wondered why they paired you two together. He's like, I almost thought it was a little bit cruel.
Yeah.
But then I realized, you know, you can't have a winning doesn't mean anything unless there's a loser, and you're here to play the loser. And I was like, damn, Ed Harris, you just murdered that line. It was fantastic.
Yeah, oh, and his name was Rebus.
Rebus.
Rebus. I mean, is that a name?
That's a name that Stephen Ogg would have. Like, we still don't know his name in The Walking Dead, I don't think,
no.
Right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's going to be something like Rebus. So, I love him so much. He's fantastic. I was so happy for him, for Stephen Ogg, because I certainly did not expect him to show up in Westworld, knowing that he's in The Walking Dead right now. So, that was something I did not expect. Loved it so much. But then I got to remember, this pilot was shot like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, So it's been quite some time since they shot this. So, all right, my favorite moment. It involved the Man in Black as well as Dolores and Teddy, but it was kind of, I guess, from a little bit different angle of, it was a very cool, well, it was the loop that they're in. It was not very cool. It was cool seeing it play out. We talked about it beforehand. It was kind of like a Groundhog Day type of feel. But I'm just thinking to myself, what an absolute terrible existence to live in, to every day just be shattered upon completely. Just, it was so bad. I mean, the fact that Dolores has to live that loop every single day, and then when we find out that she's the oldest host in the park.
Yeah, so she's been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah, and the fact that Ed Harris's the Man in Black character has been coming to the park for 30 years. So how long have they been playing same loop?
I kind of wonder, though, if it didn't start off with him. I just feel like he started off in a different relationship with her somehow, a nicer person. I mean, you can't always be a dick like that. I mean, what would be the point of always being that way? I feel like there's more to his character than the fact that he's just completely black-hearted.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you think about it, okay, let's just say for argument's sake, his character is 55, right? You know, he's not super young, but he's not old or anything. So that makes it where he was, what, 30 years ago, he was 25. So you're probably right that he didn't start off as like this complete cold-hearted bastard or anything. At least one would think. I mean, that's a long time to be a cold-hearted bastard.
And he is
sure.
65, actually, so...
Well, no, I'm
yeah, right.
Yeah,
yes, I know. I just thought I'd throw that out there just so no one...
Is he 65 in real life?
He looks good.
Good for him. Yeah, he does. He looks great. I mean, I love Ed
Me
Harris.
Too.
He's so fantastic. I was so happy to find out that he was on the show. And I love the... You know, not only the reveal, the fact that was like completely turned around, but the Man in Black character was completely opposite of the Westworld 1973 movie. You know, Yul Brynner was the Man in Black, and he was an android. And, you know, he was just like there to kill all of the humans, basically.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Are you a little bothered by the fact that they did switch that around? And it seems like a trend to make humans into the assholes. We ruin everything in the world. You know, I mean, it's the animals. We ruin their lives. We, you know, I mean, it's just like, wherever we go, we wreak havoc and bring destruction.
Well, TV and movies and books are, you know, sometimes a reflection of real life, and we tend to screw shit up.
Well, fine then.
But as far, well, for argument's sake here, I don't mind it. I do think it's the natural evolution of this story, because if we would have got another, you know, robots kill humans.
Oh, it would have been boring.
Yeah, it would have been boring, but that's not to say that's, you know, right now on the surface, it definitely looks like we are shitty as the humans. Mm-hmm. We are treating the hosts like absolute dog poop. We're bad. They're good. End of story. You know, that's at face value. I don't necessarily believe that's how it's all going to turn out. Because, okay, well, I'll just go ahead and I'll get into this question that I had for you anyway. So So right now, in the story of Westworld, we see the humans doing absolute terrible things to the hosts, raping them, murdering them, freaking murdering them, and then taking pictures with them with their dead bodies and putting their damn hat on their
which
head.
Which people as they actually did in the Old West. Whenever they killed, yes, you know, bad people, they would pose with pictures with them.
For sure, which, you know, I want to point out, I absolutely loved Rodrigo Santoro, his character of Hector. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, just in that little sequences that we got of him, as well as Ingrid, man, I don't even know, Ingrid Bolso Bernal.
I don't know, she was amazing.
She plays Armistice. Yeah. Oh, man, she is a badass. She was a badass in the Rocks movie. That movie was absolute poop. But I thought she was incredible in Hercules. She was such a badass in Hercules. She's gorgeous. I love the face tattoo and everything.
How much did you love that whole instrumental version of Paint It Black? God, that was so good.
It was fantastic. I don't know which one I like more, the Black Hole Sun one or the Paint It Black. They were both really, really damn good. And I like they're playing off the black, you know, Man in Black, everything.
Right.
I thought that was very interesting. But okay, so back to what my question was going to be. So we know the humans are bad in the sense that they're treating them really badly. So, but something that I don't know if a lot of people are talking about, the hosts treat each other horribly as well. You know, the hosts are killing each other. The hosts have no emotional feelings, it seems like, for a lot of each other. The only exception, in which I thought was very interesting, was Thandie Newton's character whenever she saves that other hooker, I guess, for lack of a better word. I thought that was interesting that she blew that other host's head away, which was a freaking awesome shot as his face blew off. I thought that was badass. But do you wonder in the show if once the hosts actually become sentient beings, will they feel remorse for what they do to one another? Because especially like, you know, Stephen Ogg's character, he does some terrible shit.
Yeah.
You know, and he like reveled in it. And I'll get that that's a part of his programming and stuff and his narrative. But do you think that they'll feel remorse not only for what the, or, you know, and well, just they'll feel pissed off too for what the humans do to them, but what they do to one another as well? Because I mean, us as humans, that's how we feel, right? You know, we don't just feel shitty when, you know, somebody does something to us. We feel, we empathize with other people's terrible plights in life, even though it has nothing to do with our lives. That could be, you know, 1,000 miles away, but we still feel bad.
I don't feel like they're going to, and I could be wrong, I don't feel like they're going to get to that. I feel like it's going to be, I do feel like obviously that they're going to be horrible. They'll turn into, they'll have to turn into the ones that are just as bad as the humans. But I just don't know if I feel like they are going to feel bad about killing each other. Do you feel like they will?
I think so. I think that they will. I think the what we see at the end of the episode, whenever Dolores slaps her face, and that's the moment, that's the realization on the show that she possibly could have been lying the entire time to Bernard's character, to Luke Hemsworth's character Stubbs, about the fact that she doesn't remember anything of her past lives, basically, or just anything at all, and that, you know, I think that whenever she felt bad for her dad, that it was genuine. And I get a feeling that her character especially, and I think to some extent the Thandie Newton's character, which I cannot, Maeve. I think both of those two could. I think those two especially could start to feel bad for not only the stuff that happens to them, but the stuff that their other hosts do to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're women, so
Oh, what are you trying to say?
I'm just saying women are typically more empathetic, but I do agree with you. I do feel like Dolores was too good whenever she was questioned about, you know, that she didn't remember anything and that, you know, everything is fine. I am fine. I do not remember anything, you know.
Exactly.
So, and when we find out that she's been there longer than the rest of them, I'm like, oh yeah, she's learned how to play this game. So
yeah, that was a really cool reveal as well. I really liked Stubbs, Luke Hemsworth's character. I thought he did a really awesome job as playing the, you know, the badass military dude. Yes, I really liked his character as well. Okay, I did not get Hank's favorite moment in time. He did not send it to us. At least I don't think so. Never mind. He said all of it.
That's helpful, Hank.
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry, we already picked that.
Yeah. That exactly. All of the episode was great as well. I'm trying to think. Was there anything else that you really liked?
I loved the whole thing with the man in black. I call him Mib for short. Mib's whole, what is his mission? What does he have going on? Why is it that, you know, when he captures Kizzy and I think he's the blackjack dealer. Kizzy's the blackjack dealer.
Yeah.
When he captures him and he tortures him, and the whole torture scene was so bizarre, knowing that, you know, this was an android, but he kept him alive long enough, you know, by just knowing how to keep enough blood in. That was all so weird. But the peeling of the top of his head off and...
Yeah, the scalping was rough.
Yeah, that was horrible because when that guy, Kizzy's screaming, was just awful. And he looks like he's crawling towards the edge of the cliff and that he realizes he's not close enough to it to actually fall all the way off of it. Isn't that what it seemed like to you?
It did. Yeah, I mean, that was whenever he realized that, it was like,
yeah,
oh, shit.
Exactly. So what is it that's going on with this hieroglyphic looking map that's underneath there?
I don't know. And that's something we see in a trailer at the end of the episode. Well, in the what's to come in the weeks ahead, we see a body that's in the middle of one of those things in the desert. Right. And it looked to me that like it was Teddy.
I thought it was Teddy and Dolores together.
And it could have been Dolores too. I just saw what looked like Teddy and I was like, oh, that's very interesting.
I thought they were spooning in the middle of it.
It did look like somebody in a fetal position. Yeah. And I didn't see anybody else, but I don't know. There's certainly lots of mysteries that they left us with in this pilot, which is great because that was my other question. Did the pilot make you want to invest your time in 9 more episodes? And I think the easy answer is
definitely.
Yes, right?
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you feel like there's any possibility that they could do a switcheroo with us, that somehow Mib is actually a host that has figured out some way to make it, you know, where he's able to kill humans? Humans, he'd be killing
his brethren. Yeah. I've thought about that. I've also thought about the possibility of, was he a part of the last incident that occurred at Westworld? And, you know, are we going to get a his parents were killed situation by the hosts? And now he's not only after the host, and he sees them as, you know, like every time he sees the hosts, he sees pain, right. You know, because like these hosts killed his family or something
and
like that.
And very expendable.
And very expendable, and knowing the fact that he can do whatever he wants because it's the world of Westworld, so he doesn't care. He's turned completely in an evil way. But then the reason why he thinks that there's this larger conspiracy, or you know, that there's something larger, which I have no clue what it meant whenever he said, like, what did he say? He's like, ancient histories, or what did he say? What wisdom is there in ancient cultures? I'm just like, what? I don't know. What wisdom in what ancient cultures? I thought that was very confusing. But I'm wondering if, you know, he wants to go after, obviously, the Fords, the Bernards, the Teresas of the show and everything, because he knows that this incident was a horrible, horrible thing or something. We don't know exactly what the incident was, but I'm just imagining it was horrible. All the humans got killed, and that was it. Again, it could be like the 1973, where all the humans got killed except for the one dude and everything. I don't know. I can't wait to find out. I don't have any inkling of what the hell that map was. Why is it showing up everywhere? Mm-hmm. Are we gonna, you know?
Is Westworld, you know, actually an alien society came and made this? You know, because I love to go towards the alien when no one else does. So
yeah, you know, I mean it. That is the one of the more interesting things about Westworld as a whole is, what is this? Because it's not is it reality or is it virtual reality? And I that a definitive answer out there? Because they take this train into Westworld, so we know that it looks like they're physically going to Westworld, but then we see the hosts are in a dream.
What do you mean they're in a dream?
Well, that's what they keep talking to everybody.
I think that's just their key word to make them go to sleep.
Yeah, you're probably right, because I mean they're physically seeing these people. Because I was like, is this a Matrix-like scenario or something like that?
Well, and I think what throws you off too is when you see the programmers and they are looking down on this set, and I know it's just, it's a computerized map, yes. And the first time they showed it, I'm like, wait a minute, why does this just looks like Westworld is so super small? And then I realized later, okay, wait, no, this is so that they can see all of it at one time. Mm-hmm. But I felt like that whole phrase that they gave them was just an easy way, instead of reaching up and, you know, pushing a button behind their head, which could be counterproductive.
Just kind of like a hypnotizing type thing, right? So yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. I would love to hear anybody's thoughts on what they think the Man in Black is after. I'm sure there's probably some really, really good theories out there already. I know that people are talking about this show constantly on social media and, you know, forums, message boards, that kind of stuff. So it would be very interesting to hear some of the... I haven't looked in them to myself yet. I probably will once the episodes start moving along. We only get 10 of them.
I know. Stupid HBO.
Really, yeah, I know. 10 episodes. It sucks, but it's also really good at the same time, because
it doesn't,
you know, we can cherish
them.
Yeah,
it doesn't get boring. There's not filler. I mean, just think about how much they move the story along just in the pilot episode. How much we got, all that juicy goodness. So, okay, so how about some of the other questions? Do you have any other questions that we haven't covered?
Yes, I do. These are pretty rapid-fire questions. So how do you feel about the world that has been built of Westworld in the pilot? Are you completely sold on it? Do you feel like it was a little bit too much, kind of like you were saying, in the sense that they just made the humans bad?
No, I'm completely sold on this story. Other than I thought they got a little heavy-handed on the boobage. Other than that, I know. It's, you know, again, I have a vagina, so that's but other than that, I thought it was just, this was so It was so perfect.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I already talked about The World, how much I liked it so much. I loved everything about it. I loved the saloon shootout. I thought it was was fabulous. You know, I
can't wait to hear.
I can't say enough about The World.
Dude's
great.
Speech when he finally gets a chance to give this the speech, because he almost got there, and he got shot in the side of the neck. Hector, so.
Yeah, I did love that whenever he got shot in the side of the neck, Teresa and the writer guy, he was so miffed. He was so pissed off that he didn't get all the way through his speech. And he's like, I know he wanted to say, like, stupid humans. I just kept thinking he was going to say that, but he didn't. So, and speaking of the characters, so do you already feel a connection to these characters? And are there any particular favorites of yours?
Well, obviously, I'm going to love... I think, obviously, Dolores and Teddy are going to be the two that I like the most at this point, because I'm so easily led to the trough. I mean, I'm just easy. But I love every one of the characters I really like, and it was so easy with this writing for them to make me like them, unlike other shows that... I will say, I'm not going to mention the name, but after two seasons, I am just now starting to give a crap about some of them.
Yeah. It is really crazy to think of, you know, when there's shows like that, and there's been shows like that where they turn out to be phenomenal shows. You know, it's just they were lucky, for one, that they got the time to build up their characters in A Slow World and everything. You know, especially nowadays, it's like you got to come out the gate all guns blazing, basically. But, you know, you're completely right. As far as for me, the character that stood out the most to me, that I liked the most, was Peter Abernathy's character.
Oh, God, he was so great.
Yeah, he was phenomenal, I thought. And I want to give that actor... their due, if I can find them really quickly. Lewis Hertham? I don't know how to if I'm pronouncing that right. He's got a familiar face.
Yes, I think he's,
you know, that you've...
I think he's been in a lot of things that we've seen. He's just one of those actors that you don't know his name just right off the top of. Oh, and he's from Baton Rouge. So
yeah, he was in True Blood. He's been in Longmire for a long time. He's in Justified for at least one episode. I don't know where I actually know him from. I'm guessing either.
Well, he was in True Detective also.
I don't know. I've seen his face from like one particular thing. I'm going to guess that it's probably Longmire, because that's like, you know, my dad is obsessed with Longmire. And so every time I visit him, we watch like 10 episodes straight on Netflix of Longmire, even though he's already seen them. So, but I loved his character. I loved that line, "Hell is empty and all the devils are here." That was great.
Yeah, and I just loved how much he felt like Dolores was his daughter, and how desperately he was trying to do what they programmed him to do, and that's protect his daughter. He bought into his own programming that his life completely changed when she came into it. Which came first, the chicken or the egg, you know? So it's just, he was so great. And you're watching Justified too, aren't you? Yeah, because.
And that show's really damn
good.
That
show is so great. Yeah, I love Justified.
Yeah, I'm absolutely in love with it. Probably going to watch it after we wrap up this podcast. Okay, so my last thing to you is, who did it better, humans, the pilot, or Westworld, the pilot? And the reason why I ask this is because they are very similar in the overarching narrative that they're building of, you know, humans, robots, androids, host, you know, what's the gray area, where's the morality of what you're doing to these to these robots, these hosts, and everything, so I think that's, they're both similar.
I will say that I, because I love humans so much, mm-hmm. I love the fact that they have made these androids that are so human-like that they put into the mm-hmm. middle of our lives. So it's not a situation where we go off to a theme park and interact, which to me makes it very easy to not necessarily act the way you would normally act around them. But when you put one into your home, one that takes care of your child or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's when it really got me on humans. So, you know, that's one of my favorite shows that we did not podcast.
No,
I
know. I mean, we both love humans, mm-hmm. Tremendously. And, It's very tough for me to answer that right now, especially because, you know, you're coming off the hype of Westworld and everything. But I went back and I watched the pilot again for Westworld because I was just like, well, if I'm going to ask
you mean
this
for
question,
for I'm humans, you watched the pilot again for humans.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. for humans. Excuse me. Yeah, for humans. You know, because I was like, if I'm going to bring this up, I want to go back while it's and see it mm-hmm. freshly, so I'll have it in my mind. But it's funny, we are definitely related because I wrote a few notes down as I was watching the pilot and I just said, you know, I like the way that we have to interact with these scents in our everyday real life, makes the relationships more intimate and your actions more realistic. Mm-hmm. The consequences of those actions hurt more. They have an actual impact on our lives. I mean, whenever we see the dad in humans, he, spoiler alert, has sexual relations with the synth. In that show, I mean it like wrecks their home life. And like whenever the story writer guy in Westworld talks about he wants to scale the host back, that they're too realistic, that nobody wants to think that they're actually boning you know, somebody else. They want to know that it's like this android, that there's no emotional connection. And you know, and we see in humans where the humans, they feel so inadequate in life. Like, you know, they feel like they cannot fulfill the other human in their life whenever this synth is around that's doing everything for them.
Oh, yeah, so, like the one that...
the detective?
Yes, the detective and his mm-hmm. his wife is... I don't know if she's temporarily disabled or disabled... permanently.
Yeah, it's in like a car wreck or something, and you know, she's going through physical therapy.
And they had a really great relationship where they were super tight until mm-hmm. this synth gets brought in that happens to be hot, hot, hot. I mean, why didn't you bring in, you know, the disgusting, not hot one? I didn't want to start using physical characteristics and make somebody mad about, you know, because some people find something hot and then I might not. So
yeah, maybe they find the detective smoking
exactly
hot.
So why didn't they bring in somebody that looked like him? And you know, I mean, when that synth that is, you know, 20 years old and just built like crazy is giving her baths and like
built like a brick house.
Yeah, exactly. Please. So of course he's gonna feel inadequate compared to him, but and they're always nice and they're pleasant and intelligent and I mean it's just
and they have time like they have the ultimate time management skills you know that us humans do not have
because we have to go to work to pay for them.
Very true. So I absolutely loved humans, and there was one other part of humans that I really liked, and that's what, you know, got me on the question of the hosts becoming sentient in Westworld. Will they feel remorse? Because we see in humans the sense they're becoming more human, like the Niska character, Max, and you know, the main couple of other synths, and Anita, mm-hmm. But whenever they start to become more and more human, they start loathing their actions, mm-hmm. and you know, they start to feel actual remorse, even though these humans are terrible. Like, you know, Niska almost kills some guy that she thought was cheating on his wife, but it was just his little girl was visiting for the weekend mm-hmm. or whatever. So I'm going to say that to me, Westworld is the bigger spectacle, but does not have the bigger stakes at the moment when you compare humans to Westworld.
And will it ever?
Luckily, we live in a world we don't have to choose.
But will it ever?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we were talking about, you know, the whole theme park thing. It's a contained theme park. At the end of the day, I don't think, you know, I don't see us. It'd be a lot easier to have a Jurassic Park 3 or World situation, whichever one it was, where they actually made it off the island and they came into the city and everything. That's a lot easier to do with these hosts because they are human-like. So it would be a lot easier for them to get on the train going out of Westworld or whatever and getting into the real world. But I don't know if that's actually that. I don't think that's where the show's going to go, and I don't think it should go there. I think that we've already got humans for that, for one. It would obviously be on a much grander scale. I mean, humans is got to be very low budget.
Well, and which is something that worries me, because you have an HBO that is doing this, and of course you've got all eyes on it, and it is so grand and so expensive, and humans is one of those shows that you have to, you know, you do grassroots campaigns to keep it from getting canceled, and it's so good.
It is really good. I mean, I would, both of us, we couldn't recommend it enough. If you really enjoyed Westworld and you're like, shit, I got to wait a week between each and one of these episodes. Humans is only 8 episodes. So go binge it. It's on Amazon Prime. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's so good. It's just such a great story. And I think it's leading to really great places. What I was going to say is, luckily, we live in a world where we don't have to choose. We got Westworld and Humans, and they're both fantastic. So I'm going to give the pilot of Westworld 5 bacons.
Oh, for sure. It was definitely 5 bacons. And that's not compared to... it's 5 bacons on its own. I mean, because sometimes we compare them to themselves just to, you know, bump their score a little bit. But no, just all on its own, this is a 5 bacon pilot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the last couple of years, I mean, there's obviously been great pilots. You know, you look at Game of Thrones, was obviously great. Breaking Bad, it was really great. The Walking Dead, fantastic. I think, what was the show that I watched? I mean, hell, I just watched Justified. I thought that was a really awesome pilot as well.
What was that other one? That Banshee had a really good pilot.
Oh, Banshee's really damn good. I freaking love that show.
But there's
show.
So many times that we get a pilot and we go, oh, it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and keep watching it, even though the pilot just blew chunks.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'll give it some time to marinate. Right. Maybe, you know, I liked this person in the episode, but no, I mean, this is something where there wasn't a character that I didn't like. I know I read some reviews that they did not like the character that was the writer, Lee Sizemore.
I think they wanted us to not like him.
Yeah, I mean, yes, was he, I guess, slightly cliche, but I think you need some of those characters every once in a while. I mean, you can't have everybody being this, like, life-altering, amazingly written character, because we got a lot of those in this episode.
For me, I think that I equate his job to, like, writing for a soap opera, where he's got to just keep putting out this stuff, which is a really tough job. And so I feel like they led us exactly where they wanted us to go with that character.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm very intrigued by Teresa. I can't wait to find out more about her character.
Now, she was his boss, right?
Yeah, she's basically Ford.
Yes.
Except for she's not in that role yet. Like, I think she's Ford's, you know, she's coming up.
Yes.
Whenever Ford finally leaves the company, it seems like Teresa will take over. Yeah, I loved her a lot as well. I thought she was great. I can't wait, because I believe here in the next week's episode, I think we're going to get Tessa Thompson. She's freaking gorgeous. I love her so much. Jimmy Simpson is going to be coming in next week, and I think he's going to have some kind of romantic relationship with Dolores, which I think is really cool. And then Clifton Collins Jr., he's going to be coming in as well onto the show. So it's crazy that this show to me was, it was already like just bam, 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 like all these fabulous mm-hmm. actors and actresses. And then we're just going to get, we're going to get more. It's like an embarrassment of riches as far as the cast is concerned on this show, which I can't wait. Do you have any idea, this final thing, final thought, what did Bernard say to Peter Abernathy to make him cry? And is he a good guy or a bad guy?
I think Bernard is a good guy. I think he's nothing but good. And that's why I don't feel like he would say something really horrible and ugly to him, knowing he's going to send him off into cold storage. You know, I'll make sure and take care of Dolores. I'll make sure she's okay. That's all I could think of.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm with you though. I think that he is a good character. I think that would be actually very interesting if they turned out to make him like this evil guy. I did love, that was one other thing. I'll just say that I love. There's so many things to love. But I love that he's been around these hosts for so long that he didn't even know how to interact with actual humans, you know? He's telling Teresa that he loves her eyebrow movement so
much. I love that about him, that he just, you know, I mean, there's those people that are such, you know, attention to detail, and, you know, they watch people like that. I thought that was really cool. So,
yeah, no, it was definitely great. Well, I don't have any final thoughts because I can't wait till episode 2. Episode 2 is entitled Chestnut, and yeah, I'm ready for it to get here. So we only have a few more days to wait. We will be back next week with our podcast. We'll most likely try to get it to you guys a little bit earlier than this past one. You know, I'm not going to any music festivals and boozing mm-hmm, a whole lot mm-hmm. this weekend, thank God. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so make sure you hit that subscribe button if you liked our chit-chats about the show. Hank should also be back with us. You can tweet at all of us. It's Rantpocalypse on Twitter. You can email us, rantpocalypse@gmail.com. And again, if you could leave us a rating or review, we would greatly appreciate it because it helps us out tremendously, especially when there's so many Westworld podcasts. The main thing is we just want feedback in the sense of what are your theories? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? I mean, that's the most fun. Like, you know, we're not getting paid for doing this.
We're just here to chit-chat about it because we like it. So
exactly. So we just want we want the interaction from you guys. So we would love to hear it. So just email us or find us on Twitter. It's Westworld Rants. I completely forgot because we have a Twitter and Facebook group. I keep forgetting.
Do we have a Twitter?
That's all Hank stuff. Yeah, we've got a Twitter. It's at Westworld Rants.
I guess I should follow that.
Maybe we should go follow our own Twitter. Again, Hank set all this stuff up. Westworld Rants on Twitter and Westworld Rants on Facebook. Those are our two groups. Again, you can email us, rantpocalypse@gmail.com. So just find us anywhere and everywhere on social media. Let us know your thoughts on the pilot and what's to come in the 9 episodes of Westworld. So thanks so much for listening. Hope you have a fantastic day. Bye-bye.
That was creepy. Bye. You're so weird.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need. I share with you my story. Would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming and I reap what I done sowed. Hey, hey. Well, let me tell you something. All that glitters ain't gold. Hey, hey. It's been a long old troublesome road. And I'm looking for some